Falun Gong is freely practiced in over 40 countries around the world, but relentlessly persecuted in China. The peaceful courage of practitioners there has shocked their oppressors and moved the people of the world. While China continues to block all information, FGM TV brings you the stories you may not hear anywhere else.
Teacher's words that other people can treat us as enemies, but we will never treat them as enemies. And my interrogator and the interpreter both were moved to tears when I told them the truth about Falun Dafa with all the questions that they were asking me. I think soon our practitioners will be free, so we can go and join them, and everybody can go home to China. I think so. Remember. the Chinese president has closed China. No truth can go in and no truth can come out. And I felt the only way that I could share it with them was to go there myself. I knew the second day that I wanted to walk with my banner in Tiananmen Square, just as I had in over 14 countries across Europe. So I went there, and at one point, as the guards changed and they were exchanging their gloves, I took my coat off and I started to walk. And there were they looked like clouds of Chinese people watching me, and I started to sing. And this is a song, I thought it was New Year's Day in China, and I wanted to bring this happy message of Falun Dafa on New Year's Day. And so as I was singing and walking up and down, everybody was watching me, and somebody from the crowd said, "Oh, Falun Dafa." And a plainclothes detective was walking by, and he said, "Falun Dafa? Falun Dafa?" And he grabbed my arm. And as he grabbed my arm, he started pulling me. And so he pulled me down into the center of the square, towards the center of the square. And someone ran up to him, and he turned around and looked at my banner. And he started to rip it off me because I had it sewn on the suit this way and down the back. And on the back said SOS. And down here was SOS, Falun Dafa, Truth Walk. And he's ripping it off and ripping it off and pulling me. And finally, he gets it all off and rolls it up and pulls me back the other way. So we're going now back towards the flag. And there's a police vehicle there. And he takes me to the door and pushes me inside. Just before that had happened, there was a whole group of little children who had come up to me and asked me to put my name on their little books. And they were in the square, and they were looking very, very puzzled and confused. And so I went to the door as what happened was that the policeman started driving the vehicle. And instead of going straight out of the square, he made a wide circle like this and came back, because there was a reporter standing there with all her cameras on, and he took her card. And then I noticed the little children were looking very, very distraught, and I put my head out the window and told them that I was okay. And the other officer was saying something to me in Chinese, but I said, "That's okay, that's okay," and I sat back down. Then they drove me to the police station, and I sat there while there was at least 10 or 12 police officers came into the room and looked, watched me there. After that police station, they took me to get my luggage, and then we went to another police station, a bigger one, where there was a boardroom, and there was a large oval table. And there were about five officers in uniforms there. And there was a lady interrogator, and she spoke through an interpreter, yeah. And they said that they were representing the official Chinese police bureau or something like that. And I said to them, "Then if you are speaking officially, then I cannot speak to you. I need a lawyer, because I know nothing about law, and I know nothing about politics, and you will be able to trick me into saying things I don't want to say, so I can't speak to you while I'm under arrest." And they said I was not under arrest. The lady said, "We will just exchange points of view so that I would be able to get an idea of Chinese culture." And she also said that that she wanted me to understand that I had broken a law and I had to be punished. She said, "Just like if in Canada, if you break a law there, you have to be punished." And I said, "But in Canada, we don't have laws that cause other people to be tortured to death." I said, "If we had a law that hurt other people, we would vote it out." And we exchanged different ideas about for example, she said that Falun Dafa was bad because she was there when the people burned themselves. And I said, well, then you know the truth. And I said, your own government's videotape, we slowed it down. And in that, you can see very clearly that it was staged and that someone actually hits the lady in the head and then she falls down and they both became very, very quiet. And she said that the reason that I think that I would think that there are people being tortured to death is because I only take things from secondhand information that I don't have the experience. And I told her I do have the experience in that people are being kept away from their families. They can't get visas to come and visit their families. And those that do come into the country get arrested by the 610 office. And the interpreter asked her if she knew who the 610 office was. And she became very, very silent again. And after she had interrogated for about 3.5 hours, she says, let's go off the record. And I said, you mean all of this has been taped and you didn't tell me? I said, I feel very deceived.
Thanks for watching SCM TV, dedicated to breaking through China's information blockade, revealing propaganda, and bringing you the truth of Falun Gong.